Good morning. Today is a special day for a few reasons. Number one, and most importantly, is the Feast of All Saints. The feast was actually a few days ago on November 1st. That's why the night before was Halloween. But we celebrate it liturgically the Sunday after the 1st. And so we celebrate All Saints today. Remember those great saints who've gone before us, who've touched our lives, some whose names are known by all of us, and some whose names are known just to us in our own hearts, who touched our life in some significant way. So we raise them up in prayer this day, and we walk the walk that they've walked during their time with us, and thankfully how they touched our lives. Today is also the day of our annual meeting. Immediately after this service, we will gather for our annual meeting, where most importantly, we will elect our new vestry, four new vestry members to the leadership of St. Paul's, and also have a time to update you on things happening in the life of the parish. So please stay, if you can, after this service. And thirdly, at least this is more personal for me, in November 3rd of 1979, I was ordained a priest. That's 40 years ago. Right about now, actually, the service was beginning. I was ordained in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, and some of you who are new to St. Paul's may try to figure out how did that happen, and now you're our rector. But that's another whole story. But I was ordained in the Roman Catholic Church and came into the Episcopal Church a few years later, actually, and have been part of this church since the 1980s. Half of my priesthood has been here at St. Paul's, 20 years. So I am thankful for that, thankful for how you have formed and shaped me as a priest, and how we form and shape each other as we walk this journey together. So I'm thankful for that. There was a phrase at the ordination liturgy that I want to share with you today, and I think I've shared this before, and I want to use it as a reflection this morning. Back in 1979, the ordination liturgy had all the those to be ordained walk down the middle aisle and take their place up at the altar area. And then after the homily, each person to be ordained, their name was called out. And you would walk up to the microphone, stand before your bishop. It was Cardinal Cook, who was the bishop who ordained me. And you would stand before the bishop and say, "I am ready and willing." George Adamick. I am ready and willing. I am ready and willing. You know, that day I thought I knew what I said I was being ready for and willing for, but never, never could I have imagined where ministry would take me, where my life would take me, where God was taking me when I said that phrase, I am ready and willing. Through ministry, I've been involved in all aspects of ministry in the church. Ministry in what was then called inner city work and teaching high school and having students in some of the poorest congressional districts in this nation. Being in a parish that was in the suburbs, being in a parish that was upstate, being in a parish that was filled with New York City firefighters and police officers and just the variety of ministry. And then being here at St. Paul's in Cary 20 years ago. What a gift this has been. And what a gift it's been to be married to my best friend and having two daughters, Elizabeth and Rebecca. I could never have imagined that. Nor could Cardinal Cook probably have imagined that. but I was ready and willing to follow where God was calling, and moving in my life, in my heart. And it's just been an incredible journey. I could write a book on that. Just yesterday, I was in touch with the monks from Mount Savior Monastery, where I spent my retreat before I was ordained. I just can't tell you the folks have touched my life over the years. But I want to use that phrase this morning, I am ready and willing. I am ready and willing. Here at St. Paul's, there's so much about this parish that has so many strengths. We care for each other. Pastoral care, we have fellowship together, we have time together, we worship together, we pray together, we go through difficult times and challenging times and joyous times and happy times. We care for one another. And there are over 60 ministries here at St. Paul's that we can become a part of and touch each other's lives and touch the world around us. The church from 40 years ago is much different than the church today. The church today needs to be more engaged in the world. It needs to be present in the conversations in our world today. And here at St. Paul's, as we've gathered together with the leadership, we are looking at ways that we can do that, ways that we are already doing that, and ways that we can even deepen and broaden and expand those kinds of possibilities. And I want to focus on a few things this morning. As this is our annual meeting, a lot of times I talk about the parish and what's happening in our life together. I want to share some thoughts with you. As you came in this morning, you probably saw those signs outside stating five areas of parish life, of ministry, that we want to be focused on over the next years ahead and be willing to walk into. And I'd like you to think, as I share some of these thoughts with you, are you ready and willing? Are you ready and willing? One of the areas is working for justice with all our neighbors. Working for justice with all our neighbors. That can involve so much, but one area we're experiencing that most powerfully, I think, right now, is our work with Wake County sponsors. Those over 40 parishes, congregations, organizations that have come together over the last year and a half, 2 years, and finally at a point we're beginning to look at what we can engage with in Wake County to be a part of. And the other night, hundreds have gathered, where thousands of folks have been an opportunity to be heard and listened to. We brought all that to the meeting. And the two top priorities have floated to the top were issues of affordable housing in Wake County and education in Wake County, that all the children who live in this county have equal access to education no matter where they live. And people have a way to live in this county as well as work in this county. And so those are two areas that have surfaced to the top. And we want to be part of that conversation, a part of that work. So working for justice with all our neighbors. Number two, walking with our LGBTQ siblings. Walking with our LGBTQ siblings. One of the great ministries we have here at St. Paul's is our Rainbow Gathering. Folks who gather together regularly here on Sunday afternoons. And folks have come to be part of that ministry, even from the community. Maybe not all from St. Paul's, but reaching out to the community. And I was proud to be part of Pride Day. Month was Pride Month in North Carolina. And a few weeks ago, there was a gathering, Pride Day in Durham, was at Duke University. And I was proud to be with the folks from our parish, our Rainbow Gathering, and have a table there among many tables as hundreds of people gathered to be part of this day. There was a parade and there was a gathering under tents and tables, and to have folks come up to St. Paul's and talk to folks, those of us who are there at the table, to be able to see a church, a community of faith that's there that day amongst folks who oftentimes feel alienated from church and from faith people, people of faith, but we stand in a different place than many, and we stood there and offered our relationships, our friendships, and our support, our affirmation. And some of those folks I've actually seen here the last few weeks gathering to kind of see what's this St. Paul's place like. And so we want to walk with our LGBTQ siblings and see where that walk takes us. I'm ready and willing. Seeking racial reconciliation. Seeking racial reconciliation. This is ongoing work. Last night I was home doing some stuff, and I just flipped the TV on for about 15, 20 minutes and had to do some other things, but CNN had a thing on about racism, and I just watched that for 10 or 15 minutes, and I couldn't take anymore. About the rise of white supremacy, the areas of racism that's still alive in this nation, and being supported and encouraged, and we need to seek racial reconciliation. Here at St. Paul's, we had the REI training, the Racial Equity Institute training, a few weeks ago. It was a two-day training. Over 60 people from the community came for that training, and we're looking here at St. Paul's to form maybe a small group to follow up from that training to continue the work that needs to be done. We've had some book studies here to educate, to enlighten, to open our minds to the issues of racism, and not just our own personal racism, but systemic racism, racism that exists in our systems, it exists in our churches, it exists so many places, and we need to continue that work, and that's an area that we want to be a part of. So working for justice with all our neighbors, walking with our LGBTQ siblings, seeking racial reconciliation. Number four, welcoming immigrants, refugees, and farm workers. This parish has been involved in one of the leaders in farm worker ministry over the years through Episcopal Farm Worker Ministry. We and the Eastern Diocese joined together in supporting the work being done at Newton Grove. And as you know, over the years, we've had many ways of working there. Hermano Day is one of those strongest days, powerful days we see, where we welcome and host folks from that work, from who live in Newton Grove, and we gather with them and provide some clothing and supplies. We've also had over the years people involved in education, in English as a second language at Newton Grove. Our youth have gone to Newton Grove on mission trips. They've had sleepovers with the farm workers to get to know the children there and work with them as well. And they've come back with their lives changed as well. So we want to continue that work with our farm workers. And I can tell you it needs to continue because I started working with farm worker work in 1972 when I was in college, and it still goes on. It still goes on. And sometimes you have to keep on it and keep on it and keep on it. Also, welcoming refugees. You know, this parish, this is a ministry that has just, it's just been an incredible ministry over the last few years. We have welcomed numerous refugee families to North Carolina, from meeting them at the airport to seeing them go off, one family moving off to live with closer to friends and neighbors and family, and to support these families, get to know them, have them be a part of our life, entering into relationship with these families, has just been a powerful ministry here. And we faced the realities of even a month ago as we were waiting for another family to arrive, as we were waiting at the airport, finding that they weren't even able to get on the plane in Turkey because they were notified the United States has shut down their limit, and they were outside the limit, and they had to not get on the plane. And we await that quota being broadened so that this family can certainly come here and be part of life here in our area. So we continue that work. Continue that work. The work with immigrants. We will stand together with immigrants and find ways to support their life here. Here in Wake County, the clergy, the CAMA group, the Cary Area Ministerial Association, we clergy have met with the Cary police, and there was also a meeting with Sheriff Baker a few months back about this work of immigrants. I don't know if you know, but the Sheriff's Department, under former leadership, if someone was found an immigrant without an identification, they had to be handed over to the sheriffs. The sheriffs worked with ICE. So a person being stopped for a traffic light or their rear light being out and didn't have proper ID can end up being deported through ICE because the Sheriff's Department would bring in the ICE officials to make that happen. The Cary police did not want that to happen. They met with us, encouraging us as clergy to encourage people to have ID so they don't have to do that, hand them over to the Sheriff's Department for that to happen. I want to tell you, I admire the Cary police for that, taking a stance on that, not wanting to do that. And then recently we had a new election, and Sheriff Baker was elected, who was opposed to handing folks over to ICE and has stood there with that decision. And there was a meeting at St. Michael's. Actually, Javier was able to go to that meeting with Sheriff Baker present and say that we as faith community support that. We support that. We do not want immigrants turned over to officials that ends up having them deported for such superficial things. How can we work together in this community? So we're a part of that kind of work. So working for justice with all neighbors, walking with our LGBTQ siblings, seeking racial reconciliation, welcoming immigrants, refugees, and farm workers. And finally, the fifth is caring for creation. Caring for creation. Caring for the wonder of this world that we've been given. And I want to give a simple example of something that will show up. This happened a year or two ago. We have a pond at the end of our parking lot. It's not a pond to go swimming in, but it's a pond that's designed, all the water that seeps off our property goes into that pond. And that pond is built in order to let the water out slowly. into the systems and riverways that take the water out of here. You know where that water all ultimately ends up? Do you know where all the water from Cary ends up? The water that seeps out of your property and goes into those sewers, you know where it all goes to? Southeast Raleigh. When Cary was developed, there wasn't a lot of planning done on that, but most of our runoff water runs into Southeast Raleigh, where it floods. Southeast Raleigh is one of the poorest, one of the most undesirable property areas to be in, and it's low in the ground, and it floods when there are storms. Our brothers and sisters at St. Ambrose Episcopal Church experience that flooding regularly when there's flooding and water is running off into their community. And so we fixed that pond because the pond broke. It's a simple way of saying it. The pond broke. And it's the way I look at things. I'm kind of one of these. And so our water was not being held. The water was just seeping into that system. Now, were we flooding Southeast Raleigh alone? No, but we're part of something. We're part of something. And so we stood and had that pond fixed. It cost us $15,000, nearly $20,000, I think. That's the treasurer for that number. It will show up on our budget as a facility expense. But that expense was about justice. It was about creation. It was about caring. So decisions we make are formed and shaped in ways that we want to make a difference in this community. And so those five areas are areas we want to focus on. Working for justice with all our neighbors, walking with our LGBTQ siblings, seeking racial reconciliation, welcoming immigrants, refugees, farm workers, caring for creation. If you look at each of those sentences, working, walking, seeking, welcoming, caring. Let me say those again. Working, walking, seeking, welcoming, caring. Are you ready and willing? Are you ready and willing? Are you ready and willing to engage in this kind of work? Are you ready and willing to support this kind of work? Are you ready and willing to make a pledge? And I'll be blunt, give money to this community so we can do this kind of work together. This work is needed. St. Paul's is needed in this community today and in this world. We have been given an incredible gift, and we can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference in this community. We can make a difference in our lives. Are you ready and willing? Are you ready and willing? I hope you are, because I want to tell you, 40 years ago when I said I am ready and willing, I could never have imagined where God was leading. And if we today stand here saying, I am ready and willing, we can probably not even imagine where God can take us, where God can lead us as we go forward together as this wondrous community of St. Paul's. So I give thanks to you today on my anniversary and for the gift of 20 years we've shared ministry together. Look forward to many years ahead as we move ahead and become this great community that God's calling us to be.